When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Space News! I'm Brayden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And welcome to another edition of Space News for the week of January 31st to, I don't know, February 7th. I guess it's every 2 weeks now, so.
Space News every other week. Your old favorite segment we axed is back every other week.
Every other week, half the time to keep you on your toes.
It's okay. Space is infinite. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's true.
All right.
We can do it anytime.
We got some interesting space news this week. We've got, first up, a stupendous crater on Mars looks eerily like a tree stump. If you want to check this out, you can head to sciencealert.com in the space tab. This one's really cool. So that's a giant crater on Mars. And if you look, there's rings similar to that of a tree stump. And no, these aren't lines that you can tell how old the crater is. But the one thing interesting about it is that they believe these lines were formed by frozen water, like frozen water. As it would freeze, it would expand. And as it would melt, it would contract, and it would slowly push these lines. So what they're saying that even though this crater where Mars is currently at in its axis isn't likely to have frozen water, but this is evidence that there could have been or still might be water in this crater.
So it's not an ancient giant tree stump.
No. I mean, is it? Maybe. I'm not going to say it's not. We're not there.
I've seen a couple pictures of some on Earth that look like ancient giant tree stumps. Maybe this, you know, human started on Mars.
Well, I don't know how wide this one is, but it would be it would be in the running for largest tree in the universe, I think.
Fucking monster crater.
And how did they get this fantastic photo? It looks really great.
Must be one of the orbiters, right?
On a camera? Somebody just floated up there with a camera?
They attached a telescope to their iPhone and pointed at Mars.
Got it.
So okay. Look, if you look at the little line in the corner there, it says 1 kilometer. So I'm guessing like just by eyeballing it, it's probably like 6 or 7 kilometers wide in diameter.
It's a big fucking tree.
At least. So that'd be a huge tree. you know, very interesting stuff. We're learning more and more about Mars. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if we start finding water and then, you know, I'm setting the bar low for my lifetime. Simple life. That's what I want to find, right? We don't need complex, a single cell. I'll be happy. I can die a happy man. We find life on another planet.
That orbiter is called Roscosmos? ExoMars Trace Gas Orbiter CASSIS instrument. Mouthful.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus.
So got the an abandoned SpaceX rocket will crash into the moon within weeks, ruining our cheese supply. There's going to be a cheese shortage worldwide.
What kind of cheese grows on the moon?
Swiss.
Oh.
Duh.
Okay.
All those holes?
This rocket was deployed in 2015, and it put NASA's satellite called the Deep Space Climate Observatory into orbit.
Fake.
Yeah, well, then the acronyms DSCOVR. I'm like, what's the VR?
Virtual like, reality. It's fake.
Yeah. Hey, this is a metaverse rocket. But I guess they've, this rocket has just been in kind of like a chaotic orbit ever since. They basically just been drifting there, floating around, pinballing everywhere. And now scientists have
they just like slingshot off Earth's. I mean, that's how most of, it's how NASA got to the moon. It's like, did it just slingshot off of the gravity well of Earth and like whoosh towards the moon?
Maybe. I have no idea. It's just out there fucking wilding around. I thought it was some sort of moon slingshot or something where they're like, you know, Armageddon stuff, but
it's probably that's how we got to the moon in the first place. It's like,
yeah, you guys use the gravity. Yeah, they were where the position of that satellite probably is probably a far out satellite, like a distant orbit. Not like a low Earth. So yeah, probably. Yeah,
deep space climate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. After they dropped it, yeah, for the last 6 years, it's been slingshotting around Earth and now it's getting pulled in by the moon. So
just finally reached escape velocity. And it's like, whoosh.
Scientists are estimating that it's going to crash onto the dark side of the moon March 4th. And I'm like, how convenient that this fake rocket crashes where we're not going to see. Like, how awesome would it have been if they're like, hey, listen, with a good pair of binos, if you're out there at like 9:30, you might see this thing crash into the surface of the moon.
Yeah, so Transformers are going to be pissed.
Yeah, right into their base. What are the chances that it hits the... Where's the Chinese rover right now?
Just crashes right on it.
Oh man, that would suck so hard.
Yeah.
It's like a 1 in a billion chance.
He's so mad.
Stray rocket just blows up the orbiter.
Huge ass international incident. Well, it's no different. Like, hasn't China, we've talked about a couple times, they're dropping satellites recklessly and they're just like, hey, heads up.
Space is up. No rules in space.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Next up, we have astronomers detect strange signals we've never seen before in our cosmic vicinity. The interesting one about this one is it's only 4,000 light years away, which is...
That's nothing.
You know, it's nothing, man. Fuck a hop, skip, and a jump. That's a road trip. This thing, flashes radio waves for 30 to 60 seconds every 18.18 minutes.
Precise.
So we're not sure, but this is one of those like it's pretty close. They've the word gobsmacked was thrown around quite a bit. Listen, I'm not even gonna pretend to know that I understand any of it. I think the culprits right now are
aliens,
some sort of dead pulsar
aliens.
Well, aliens.
Yeah. No, I think the main suspects are the ones that they have seen before. They haven't seen one like this one before, but most of the ones that resemble it are the magnetars, like the collapsed dead stars, that kind of spin-on
thing.
That's
the one.
But I do remember reading this one interesting story about a race of extraterrestrials that essentially used like pulsars and magnetars as types of like bombs. So as booby traps as a planet. So you'd have it spin on a precise axis. So when something arrived in orbit or within the solar system, then it would trigger that thing because it's so precise. Like these things, they spin
space
at such
mine?
A thing. Yeah, like a space booby trap. You know,
dude,
you put something
like
there
mine,
that you didn't
space.
Want anybody to find or something like that. And
it's
then
unbelievable.
It's like, so I don't know. It was a pretty cool concept. I thought it was pretty neat. You have these things because they spin at such a precise, they have such precise movements and timing. So it's like if you went in there and anything disrupted it, I guess, in fiction, I suppose. There's probably other factors that would be taken into account. But
you heard
it
here first. It's a space mine.
Space mine.
Astronomers have named this Gleam XJ16275.5-523504.3. But we'll just call it Gleam XJ for short. We don't need the coordinates.
Clever, clever name.
We're finding, I remember, years ago when we were getting the first fast radio bursts and now it seems like we're picking these things up every other week and discovering new things. So
yeah, there's frequencies shooting all around space all the time from every direction. And we're just starting to get the tools now to witness it.
Yeah. And speaking of tools, the James Webb Space Telescope reached its destination. It's in the, what are those zones called? That's one thing that
Lagrange.
Lagrange
point.
Yeah.
or
Lagrange points. Yeah. So there's basically five points.
I learned that from Gundam.
Did you really?
Gundam? Yeah. Yeah. Lagrange points. I learned that from the Gundam series.
So there's basically 5 points around Earth where I guess these points, they're perfectly in balance between the sun and the Earth, where like the gravitational force of both like kind of works off each other. So you can maintain stationary orbit without like decaying into falling into the sun or falling into the Earth. It just keeps you perfectly in place at these five locations.
In the Gundam series, like these are the point, like those are the points where you find all the, cause in that universe you have like space colonies, and it's been a concept for a long time. If you had an orbital space colony, you want to put it out there, then these would be the ideal locations for them to be put. So you'd have like, you know, almost a perfect place. It's a big pocket. It's not like it's a big area. They're not small, thimble,
right?
Yeah. It's not like a tiny little spot. So you could fit a whole bunch of stuff in there, but they would remain relatively stable, and you wouldn't have to, you know, spend a lot of fuel maintaining adjustments and stuff.
Yeah, it's
pretty. So the James Webb is off at into
deep space or something.
L2 Lagrange point 2,
far side of the moon.
Right. And it's going to stay there. We're probably not going to get our first photos back for about 5 months from what I read, but it's sitting 1.5 million kilometers away, and it's ready to go, baby. It's go
time. Just enough time for them to scrub all the pictures of aliens.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be five months of Photoshop before you see those pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though the pictures are going to be in every spectrum but visible light, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, watch this.
It's an IR telescope.
This is an interesting thing. NASA Webb Telescope on Twitter released this video.
Can make that bigger?
How are they getting that video of the James Webb Telescope?
It's already operational. They have another camera pointed back at it.
Right?
They're lying to us.
It's 100%.
David Weiss was right the whole time.
That's nothing but a firecracker, baby.
This is pretty cool. This is the greatest collaborative space effort of our time.
Dude. Mm-hmm.
Getting this out there. The next will be if they do that Project Artemis and land back on the moon, that will be bigger. But
an international moon base would be, the next step or something like that. But
yeah, they're going to have that, the gateway, and then hopefully a moon colony one day.
Because I mean, I think the collider, you know, the Hubble, but this thing is, you know, right now it's this is peak.
Just everything that had to go right to get that up there.
Yeah,
like the chances, it was low chance, and they pulled it off. So
there's a chance that this thing finds life within 5 months. We could be getting, you know, that this thing's detecting signs of life.
Well, it would. Yeah, you might detect signs of habitable planets or planets that are more similar to Earth. You could find a lot of planets like that. That's a possibility. One of the other things I think is interesting, since it's going to be able to look so far into the universe or out into the universe, you can definitely count on a number of papers being published about like the confirmation of a lot of theories about how planets, how stars form, how all of these things that have pretty much just been simulations, or they've been like mathematical problem, like mathematical formulas that just like, okay, this might exist. Because I said it before, I was like, black holes, we'd never seen one, and we never confirmed that an actual black hole existed. They existed mathematically as a mathematical a mathematical probability. But when we got that actual picture, like in the visible light, like where they had that actual picture, like just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that.
2019 or something. Like it wasn't long ago at all.
So it's looking out into the universe is going to tell us something like how the universe, because when you're looking farther out into space, you're technically looking back in time.
Yep.
And you're going to be able to see a lot of stuff like how things developed and the formation of entire galaxies and stars and all that cool shit.
It's and you're also going to receive alien radio signals. You're going to get their satellite TV, see what kind of shows they're watching.
Thank God.
We're going to add 6,000 channels to our cable boxes. Everybody's cable bills are going up.
Galactic satellite television. It's going to be awesome.
All right, next all up, you know, this is a little older, but it happened right after last space news. the Tonga eruption.
Wild.
Gigantic. You know, it's not much space news, but the way I was tying this into space news is I want to talk about like
Earth is in space.
Earth is space.
But it, I mean, it did affect stuff out in space, technically. It did. I mean,
well, the other thing is, I'm like, you know what? Even, you know, maybe a decade ago, 15 years ago, catching this on any kind of camera would probably be unheard of, have to be super lucky. But we're getting to a day and age where stuff like this will never be missed. Like if there was a Tunguska event again or something like that or a big eruption, we are going to catch footage of it like this. Let's go in for a little closer look. Let's bring it in. Let's look at this here. We got Mega Dan, but that's okay.
That's how it goes.
Look at this blast here. So that's a satellite image of the Tunguska.
Dude, it looks like there's a massive...
Not Tunguska. Tonga.
That's from space and it looks that big. I think it vaporized one of those islands, right? Like it just, it's gone.
I would assume that...
Was it underwater? I think this was, or was it underwater volcano?
Yes, it was underwater.
But whatever was under that water is gone.
I'm pretty sure it covered a number of, it did cover a number of places like in ash. Like there were volcanic related problems.
And 100%. Well, you can see that cloud instantly of like that, right? It's just getting curled up there.
Whatever,
and you can see the shock waves like moving across the crowd. Like it's absolutely insane.
And they even had like, They had pressure level sensors detect the sound. Like it's below human hearing, but they could detect it in the Yukon, Canada. It's like 12,000 kilometers away. So it's like
wild. Yeah. I mean, it still qualifies as space news because a lot of scientists are actually, you know, looking at the, like, you can see how the shock waves travel through our atmosphere. And then I think a lot of people forget that the, or don't think about the fact that the atmosphere is, there's more layers than you just think of the one. There's tons of layers that reach out like far away from our planet.
Yeah.
You know, one of those being kind of like the ionosphere and those places. And that huge events like this can cause ripples and fluctuations within those layers. And they were talking about how specifically like something like this can affect the ionosphere to a point where like it will actually disrupt some communications and like GPS would be affected by something like globally would be affected by this because it just messes everything up. Like it throws up so much like charged particles into the atmosphere and beyond that it will kind of like mess with stuff. I'm not sure to what degree. Some of the articles weren't really clear, but it's like it's definitely detectable like on a global scale.
Well, I'll go ahead and say if you were anywhere near that explosion, your phone's probably not working.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
true.
You're probably not working.
If you're standing right next to
wrong.
It.
You're probably dead at that point.
This is interesting. A Chinese satellite just grappled another and pulled it out of orbit. First off, this is a badass patch for a satellite. But basically, China now has a tugboat satellite. And in theory, like when I first started reading this, I'm like, this seems like a good thing. So you could, you know, grapple onto other ones and tug them, you know, out of the danger zone of, you know, causing what's the effect where, you know, if one of these things crashes,
Kessler syndrome.
One crashes, it would just cause a cascading, you know, problem. So it would kind of make sense to start figuring out how we can get some of these things out of the fucking way. I think concerns are is that, you know, perhaps they're going to be using this for a military application.
There's always that aspect.
Yeah, it's always a concern that something like this, because they didn't really tell anybody they were doing this. It's just, you know, people managed to catch the people who observed satellites that are in orbit reported that they had one on, they were tracking one satellite that had been, is an abandoned satellite, doesn't really have any purpose up there anymore. And it had moved from its normal orbit or where it had been, its previous orbit, into what they called like it's the graveyard orbit. Where essentially, like, that's where they put satellites, like, all dead satellites, kind of, they move them out into there.
Right.
or like they get maneuvered. Usually like you'd get them maneuvered there, but this is actually like the Chinese launched a satellite specially designed to like just go up there and grab it and then kind of push it over there. So yeah, there are people who are kind of sounding alarm bells being like, this is the we hear all this stuff now about, you know, Russia shooting down satellites. China's got a satellite kind of tugboat that you could potentially disrupt communications with just up there. Because I mean, if it's up there and it's doing stuff, it's like, you can't really stop it. Like, you know, by the time you shoot it down, it would take like hours, minutes, you know, like to shoot it down or something.
Well, the thing is, I'm like, you know what, like, it's one of those, it's honestly, if it is safer military application, it's still a perfect ploy because you need to, something like this needs to be done. Like we're getting, you know, we've talked about other times where we're getting like dangerous levels of debris up there, right? Yeah. Where we need to start figuring out what to do, collect the trash or something. So if, you know, if they're kind of doing that, you know, the power to them.
As far as I can recall, like off the top of my head, this is the first time I've seen like a real, like not a solution, but a kind of remedy. An effort to kind of clean up space.
You just need a really big net between a few satellites and it just slowly accelerates and just scoops it all up. And once it gets it all, just shoots itself into the sun.
Trash bomb.
Just takes out all satellites in its process. Just restart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Space is cool. That's all we got for space news, but we've got a little community news and a new segment that we're going to call Theorite News.
Theorite News.
So this is kind of where we're going to kind of give you guys some updates on what's going on in the world of the Theorites and, you know, kind of ATT, you know, back alleys.
This is where you'll get news of when the running challenge happens, when, you know, we're both after the, when we go do live shows, if that ever happens.
I'll tell you here. This is where you,
whatever else we can think of.
So first off, you know, if you don't know, now you know, we had a fantasy football league, actually two fantasy football leagues, because they were so popular. We had the winners just announced. The winners were Ron's Ponderings.
Nice.
And Bigfoot Dick Punch.
Bigfoot Dick Punch. What'd they win?
They won two custom ATT football jerseys. I think it says the champ is here, some on the back. They look pretty cool. Andrew sent us pictures. Ron Ponderings and Bigfoot Dick Punch. If you haven't already reached out to give Andrew your address, I know he messaged you and you're listening to this, reach out, give him your address. We have your jerseys. We would love to ship it to you.
It'll be sent ASAP. Yeah, that was fun. And who lost?
I don't know. That's not confirmed. We're not gonna talk about that. We're not about pointing out losers in this podcast.
That's need to know information, and you don't need to know.
That is incorrect. Pointing out losers is what we do. Loser of the first annual fantasy football league is your boy, Braden Dragon.
All right,
Craig.
First off, we're gonna do
Braden,
a dedicated
Dragon Craig.
Braden the Dragon Craig.
Space Conspirators or Sports Conspirators number 3 is gonna be about the ATT Fantasy Football League and how I was duped into picks by Andrew for the first 6 weeks of the fantasy football. And we're gonna go through the stats and we're gonna look. And he kept telling me, no, don't pick that. Don't listen to Yahoo. And I lost every single game.
You know what? You got a case there. You got a case. Yeah. There might have been a little conflict of interest there. Andrew picking your team where the loser is going to do something absolutely terrible. We haven't figured out your complete punishment yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, whatever. It can't be as bad as just living my life. So just day in, day out. So no big deal. Next up, listen, if you don't know, now you know. The boys are coming to Austin, Texas. Sans Dan, probably. Most likely.
We're going to Austin. 100%. We're going to be there from March 2nd. We'll be leaving on the 7th. So pretty much 2nd to 6th, we're going to be in Austin, around Austin. There will be, well, we'll obviously be at the bar Friday and Saturday. Bar to be determined. Fan meetup. I don't know if we'll bring some prizes or we'll have a door draw or something. Something we're gonna have some fun.
Yeah. We're going to be, you know, we might schedule some ghost tours or something while we're there, some other kind of events. But, you know, we're going to have posts on social media, and we'll probably have some ads as we get closer to, and we start to finalize our plans. Literally, flights were just booked.
Just booked them today.
We're coming.
Got our goddamn COVID insurance. We're coming.
Right now, we're living on the streets when we get there. We don't know. That's how little we know right now.
Yeah.
But we're coming. That's a fact.
So, the reason we chose Austin and Texas in particular is it's our most listened to state. It's right in smack dab in the middle of three gigantic cities, San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas.
The Texas Triangle.
Texas Triangle, you know? It's good shit down there. Smack dab
in the middle of Craig's Triangle.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, if you're listening to this, you're like, man, I wish they picked my city. Well, we would have if you told more of your friends to listen to the show. So
get more people to listen.
You want us to come to your city the next pod trip. You know, one of the best persuading factors is to be the city with the most downloads. So,
yep, you got to tell your friends. That's the only next pod trip at this rate will be 2024. So
if we're going to have a history, well, hopefully not.
Hopefully not. We'll try and get back on our two pod trips a year schedule, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. Next up, we got a little bit of conspiracy roundup. We had, it's very few times this Canadian news make international headlines.
Very few.
And this past weekend, if you didn't know, there was 2.3 million trucks. They circled the globe twice, led by Jesus and Bigfoot. And they took down Parliament, and Canada, I believe, is now run by Mothman. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure Canada runs the world now. That's what happened.
Yeah, I think we're in charge. I think that's what happened.
No, pretty much.
Basically,
JFK Jr. is the new Prime Minister of Canada.
Pretty much. I mean, Canadians got a long fuse, and there was some recent border announcement for truckers. An already tight supply chain issue where you cannot go across the border either way, Canada to US or US to Canada without being a vaccinated trucker or core doing the quarantine that just came into effect. So these people thought they were been essential this whole 2 years. They had some good arguments. They don't really talk to anyone. They don't stop. They're not congregating. Anyways, them's the rules, and they didn't like it. So it started this big cross Canada convoy. As Braden said, some people said ridiculous amount of trucks. I actually don't know how many trucks were in the end.
I think the number of like actual semis was like, no one jumped down my throat, but I think it was like around 200, maybe a little less. And there was some RVs that weren't counted.
There was a lot
and
of
there were some like
small
people
cars.
Driving trucks.
Yeah. But either way, it led to, it ended up being Canadians for their own purpose. So every family, every community throughout Canada had their own gripe with the government and COVID restrictions. So it caught fire as it became a grievance of everyone to be like, we want to follow the rest of the world in hopefully ending vaccine passports, mandates, and kind of getting back to a sense of normalcy. Some people had great expectations for what was going to happen. Some people, obviously, whenever there's I think there might be like 10 or 15,000 protesters, which is for Canada probably the most ever, or one of the most. And some people are hoping that, to overthrow the government, as what happens with these type of events. There were some bad apples there, obviously. They were defacing our boy Terry Fox. I mean, you can't be doing that.
I'll say this. This is one of those issues. COVID obviously has become a political issue. You know, it's split people, and with how Canada kind of handled the last round of lockdowns.
It's bad.
It was bad. I'm a person who is, I'm double vax. I believe in the vaccines. But when we were getting the evidence of, Omicron and what was happening, some of the decisions our government made, you were like, well, where's the science in that? There's like none, actually. We're just doing this now. And there was like
no evidence to
shut down fitness facilities and stuff in British Columbia. I don't know about other places, but there wasn't an evidence that could tie fitness facilities to outbreaks. They just said there was a likelihood of outbreaks there because that's where 18 to 55 year olds meet up. It's like, well, so they also meet up at work and anywhere else because that's the entire working force of British Columbia is 18 to 55. Like that's everyone. Everyone is included in that. So this, I think it's really kind of driven a wedge between people of people like, yeah, we should follow this. And then the other issue is that, you know, there's some ne'er-do-wells who started this or were involved in the beginning stages of the truck convoy. Some extremists that have white nationalist ties. So now you have people who are like, they like the idea of the convoy, but then they're like, well, yeah, I like that idea, but I don't like the people who are running the convoy like this. So now it's split an issue of like, if you're for the trucks, you're for racism. And if you're against the trucks, you're against racism. And the truckers are like, well, we're not racist, but there's some shady stuff going on. One of the shadiest things going on is that there was one of the largest GoFundMes in Canadian history.
It had raised $9 million.
And the founder right now is MIA with the money.
Well, GoFundMe locked the money and they released $1 million only, I thought.
The lady, Tamara?
Tamara something.
She is currently MIA. And one of the other, you know, members who has some sketchy ties, Pat King, has been saying that, like, yeah, they can't get a hold of her. It's not looking good. You know, there was some news of other ne'er-do-wells going to Ottawa and they were basically being like, hey, the restaurants here won't let us in without masks because that's the rules. So they were going to the homeless shelter and harassing the people there to get food from the homeless shelter. So it's like, you know, you have good and bad with all these parties, but it's just one of those issues where it's like the mandates, I believe, have been kind of handled wrong in Canada.
The last round for sure.
And you've driven people into, you know, you're starting to push people into groups with these extremists. And I'm like, this isn't going to end well for anyone.
Let's just stop there because it did attract some extremist groups with any event of this size, especially in the nation's capital. And so everyone's going to use it for their own purpose. But our local representation from government was there at Parliament because it started today.
Yeah.
And she's like,
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not everyone.
I know,
but I'm saying people are going like.
She had a big press conference today in Kelowna, and she's like, I was there. I went out and I talked with protesters, and it's 99 out of 100 are just Canadians who got caught up in the movement. They're pissed off. Their business has been closed. They just want to go back to work. They don't. That's it. That's most of the people. And then social media, mainstream news pushes the narrative that this is a right-wing extremist movement, all of them. And they lump everyone together, and then now everyone hates the movement. And you're like, people are just upset. It's been a long two years. People are upset. That's what's happening.
I'll agree with that. People are upset. There is a cringy video of a woman going on stage in Ottawa trying to make your point that mainstream media is painting them all as white nationalists. And she goes, I want to know, we're all Canadians here. Who here is a white supremacist? And she turns and the first person she gives the mic to, he goes, I'm a white supremacist. And then you hear a group of people go like, yay, and literally cheer. Then she's like, oh, this is super fucking awkward. Like,
whoopsies. Ooh.
So I'm like I said, and I mean, those are the clips that go viral.
That's what I mean. So those
like,
are the ones you
the
see.
Optics coming out of, I'm like, you know what, like me.
You don't see the people who went and cleaned Terry Fox after. You don't see the people who cleaned up the garbage on the, you don't see the good stuff. You always hear all the bad stuff.
100%.
It reminds me of the kind of the problems that arose around when they had the, what was it called? The thing on Wall Street.
Occupy Wall Street?
Occupy Wall Street, yeah. The Occupy Wall Street was a great movement. It had good ideas and stuff like this, but they lost in the messaging. Like they never had a singular, like there are times where a message is good when it's just a faceless, like it is all of these people. We are the movement, da da da. But then you have to get, they didn't focus their message. They didn't have like they didn't have like distinct demands, like a mouthpiece to kind of give out this stuff and vocalize their concerns in a clear and concise manner. And so when that is all up for grabs, when the narrative is up for grabs, yes, the media is going to capitalize on that. They're going to get the clicks. They're going to get the, they want the people
they're
tuning in.
They're making their money, baby.
And they want to be, they want to make people more angry. Like that's what
sells.
That's what people, that's what sells is rage.
And now, let's just all remember, I mean, three of the four on the podcast are Canadian. We are blessed with living in countries where congregating in protest of government and or laws and or anything you're not happy with is legal and should be encouraged. And there's some people are saying these everyone who is protesting is a trash bag. And like people are just fed up. That's your right to protest. Let's just leave it at that. Don't go fight your neighbors because they're all of a sudden they are angry because their business has been closed for 2 years and they're getting on
just
the movement.
Be like me where you assume 99% of people are trash bags.
Yeah. Mm. Everyone sucks together.
All the time.
Yeah. So I don't think, unfortunately, the truckers aren't going to get their way. They're going to have to find new routes.
See, they all mobbed Parliament on Sunday and Parliament's closed Sunday. So it's kind of like, it's kind of weird. Weird day to pick.
Listen, I'm not a fan on government intervention on private business. What you do at the international border, that's the government's job. But like a private business down the street, when you close them down for 2 years, repeatedly up and down, open, closed, half capacity, full capacity, closed, outdoor dining only. It gets people mad. And after 2 years, it gets fucking a little, edgy.
Definitely in BC, this came down to if you have enough money, you can stay open. And if you don't, you must close or we will fine you until you don't have any money.
Yep.
Case in point was you have a kid that plays hockey, you can't play hockey. But if you're professional, you can continue to play hockey and you can continue to travel across the border to play hockey.
But you still pack arenas full of people.
Yeah, and you can have 8,000 people in the arena, but you can't have 40 people to go watch your children play hockey.
Same thing in the United States. You got college.
Yeah.
You had pro football stadiums just packed full of people. And it's
there's a lot to be mad about, but I really think, I've said this so many times, but I really think, fuck, we're almost there, man. Once winter season climbs, crests.
Oh, baby. Sun's out, guns out this year, man.
Let's roll, baby.
It's done. One was interesting. The Spotify ultimatum. Neil Young basically said, hey, listen, I'm sick of Joe Rogan and this misinformation. It's me or Joe Rogan. And Spotify said, well, I hope Neil Young does remember that Spotify don't need him around anyhow. And they just pulled his music. They're like, all right, sorry. We hope you change your mind, but.
I saw a bunch of stuff pop up about that. Was it Joni Mitchell?
Joni Mitchell.
She joined Neil Young.
I saw a quick mention of Nickelback. Is that true?
There was a joke.
That might have been a joke.
No, Dan, I think that was a joke. There was a joke that says if Spotify doesn't pull Joe Rogan, Nickelback's putting more music on or something like that.
Well, that was James Blunt said that too.
I'm sure that joke was said a bunch of times, but
yeah,
the stock of Spotify, because obviously any controversy scares investors. So it dropped 25. I don't know how quickly it's rebounded, but I'm sure it will. I mean, maybe not all the way right away, but I mean, Joe Rogan offered, you know what? Good on Joe Rogan. You could say what you want about him. He today offered an apology. He says, yeah, maybe I should have had more people on both sides of the debate back to back. Like, this guy's got this view. He says vaccines don't work. Let's bring on a guy who's very much pro-vaccine. And he's like, I'm fine having if I'm talking about these controversial subjects, having a disclaimer at the episode. So he did something that mainstream news doesn't do, is he apologized and said, I'll try and change and do better. At least he did.
Yeah. If he puts his money where his mouth is,
I'd be happy.
And you gotta, like, listen, if he has a good guest on, I watch. I'm more interested in when he has a guest that I'm into than his show entirely. But you gotta give it to him. He is in uncharted waters for a human.
Oh, yeah.
More people watch and tune in to him for fucking news than the news.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
he's just a guy who talks to people. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
At one point. Yeah.
and he
was a game show host.
Yeah, listen, he is in uncharted waters for a human. So I'm like, you know what? I watched Apology. You know what? Like,
I don't know. You could probably lump him in there with like, I mean, you had like Howard Stern's and those not, kinds of things.
Howard
like,
Stern never was on big network, not, though.
Like, never on this
yeah,
level.
But I'm saying like back then, like back in the prime days. Like,
yeah, he was big. Dude, there was never a time where people went, I believe Howard Stern more than I believe the news.
Well, he did. Yeah, but he didn't have like the, well, we didn't have the reach that we did back yeah. then. It'd be something so, like that. So and, I didn't, yeah.
An interesting thing though with the Neil Young thing, this is one thing that I found interesting about that is that because I remembered that he, and I don't know why this stuck in my head, but he sold 50% of his music rights and the income interest to the, his music to a UK-based investment firm. It's called like Hip Hop Genius or something. And basically they buy up rights for music, classic music, because they think that like stocks and stuff, this music, the stock of these classic songs and great artists is going to rise and rise in the future. So I found it interesting that he just tanked. They say he lost 40% of his income. So he would have also crashed. One second. Let's see if I can find it really quick. Hypnosis, Sons Fund Limited, a UK investment firm founded by manager turned investor Merrick Mercuritis. But he would have tanked their stock, like their income from, because they own 50% of the worldwide copyright and income.
That's funny. Just whoopsies. Right?
So like, would he be liable for a move like that? Because he's now hurt.
But it's the other 50%. It's not the music that he pulled off of Spotify. Like, I think he pulled like, I mean, that's he pulled the music that he owns.
He didn't pull anything though, Dan. Spotify pulled him. They took a move and Spotify went, all right, they pulled Neil Young's work down.
Right. But but they said they would do that for him because he asked or he was going to do it himself.
Well, that's what I don't know is because, I mean, Neil Young was part of, I'm sure, major record labels. So like, who's got a piece of his music? Is he entitled to pull his own music with no, say?
I think he owns the right, like he sold 50% of the things, but he retains the rights to like that music.
It depends. It really depends on his contract, because usually record labels own the master copy. Mm-hmm. Unless you had a great agent or something.
I think he's one of the outliers. Like, I think he's one of the ones. He's not a Bruce Springsteen. He's not a, like a, what's the other guy? Like, oh God, I can't remember the name.
Either way.
All Along the Watchtowers.
Bob Dylan?
Yeah, that one.
I don't know. Wild stuff.
All right. That's it for this week in space news. We're going to be bringing you the best of space news every other week. Anything else before we sound this one off, boys?
That is all.
No.
All right. As we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Peace out.
Peace.